Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I started last Monday entitled, How to Find God's Will. And actually, this is just going to be a part of three teachings that I do. The first one is how to find God's will. The second one is how to follow God's will. The third one is how to fulfill God's will. All of those are equally important. You know, as I go through this series, I'm going to be giving a lot of scriptural examples, also personal examples and things that I've seen in other people. And I've seen people, and there's people in the Word of God who found God's will for their life, but then they leaned unto their own understanding. They tried to accomplish it in their own strength, and that won't work. You can wind up still on the junk pile, a scrap heap, you know, even if you find God's will, if you don't follow God's will, and then you have to learn how to fulfill God's will, persevere, longevity. And there's just a lot of people that fail in one of these areas. So really, each one of these areas is equally important. Let me say that I've already covered an introduction to this. I started using yesterday Psalms 139, verses 14 through 17. And in that passage, taken from the NIV, let me just read a portion of that again. In verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. And this, if you study it out and look at it in the King James, it's talking about when you were conceived in your mother's womb. In verse 16, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You know, there's a lot I could say about this. I'm not going to spend the whole day on this, but let me just real quickly mention that this is another reason why abortion is murder, because God, before the child is ever born, before it comes out of the mother's womb, God has already written down all of their parts and everything ordained for them. It is not just a fetus, a hunk of flesh. It is a living, viable person from conception, and God has plans ordained for that child. And, you know, I could spend a lot of time on this, and you could just amplify this, that all of the needs of society, all of the needs of the world, when God creates a child in the mother's womb, that God has plans for that child about how they are going to fit into that society and what they will contribute and what they have to offer. And we now, in just the United States alone, I think it's over 50 million babies have been aborted, and it's much more than that because it's not completely reported. New York and California aren't required to report every single abortion. And so there's more than 50 million babies have been murdered. And God had a plan for every one of those. Every one of those had something to contribute to this nation, to this society. And regardless of what nation you're watching this program in, you know, there are abortions all over the world. And just think how many millions and millions and millions of children have never even seen the light of day, never had the opportunity to fulfill this. And how has this affected our world? You know, these are questions that are beyond my ability, human ability, to answer. We won't know until we get to heaven what could have happened in our societies, what musicians, what scientists, what doctors, what politicians, statesmen we've missed because they were aborted before they were ever born. But this is just amazing that every one of us had a purpose, a God-given purpose, before we even came forth out of our mother's womb. Look at what Paul said in Galatians chapter 1. I'm breaking right into the midst of his teaching, but he said, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." And then he goes on and talks about he didn't go up to Jerusalem. He got this by supernatural revelation from God. But in verse 15, notice it said, "When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb." From his mother's womb. That's talking about from the time of birth, God already had a plan for the Apostle Paul. And God separated Paul unto himself. Now, I could spend more time on this than what I'm going to do, too. But if you would just go back and study the book of Acts and look at some of the life of Paul, you can see that prior to his conversion on the road to Damascus, Paul was given and totally saturated into religion, and he was seeking after God, but he wasn't doing it the proper way. He didn't have the proper revelation. And at one time, the Apostle Paul, before his name was changed, he was Saul, he was actually persecuting the church. And he went and arrested people and committed them to prison and testified against them, even to the point that some of those people were put to death. And so here is Paul, who felt a call. He had a recognition that his life was supposed to be totally given over to God, but he made the mistake of just assuming that it was going to be by saturating himself in the religious system of that day. And because of it, he actually became a persecutor of the true God and of the gospel. And the Apostle Paul said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, around verse 10, that, you know, he wasn't even fit or worthy to be called an apostle because he persecuted the church of God and things like this. But by the grace of God, he was what he was. And so my point is that I believe that somehow the Apostle Paul or his parents or somebody recognized that his life was supposed to be totally separated unto God. And he started from his mother's womb, from a very young age of seeking God. But then he got off track. He got into religion. And he had to have this miraculous encounter with God where there was a bright light on the road to Damascus and an audible voice out of heaven. And God revealed himself to Saul at that time, changed his life, and he became the Apostle Paul, who wrote half of the New Testament. And today, I mean, Paul's writings have just transformed my life. His revelation of grace is just tremendous, and he has impacted millions and billions of people over the centuries through the way that God used him. He impacted his world in a powerful way during his own day, but then his writings that became part of the Bible have just transformed people. For instance, Martin Luther got a revelation of Romans chapter 3, verse 27, a writing of Paul, and that's what changed his life and caused the Reformation. And that changed not only the body of Christ, but it changed the history of the world. It basically occasioned the Industrial Revolution, and all of these kind of things happened because people began to come out from under the dark ages in the religious system that existed at that day and began to find freedom in Christ. Some of the greatest inventions and discoveries that have ever been made in the history of mankind were made by godly people who were seeing a problem, and they prayed, and God used them, directed them to deal with this problem and to solve it. And so by Martin Luther getting this freedom and causing a revolution or a reformation in the body of Christ, then that basically spread out and touched their societies, those nations. It has affected the world. You and I are impacted today by those things that happened through Martin Luther. Martin Luther was impacted by Paul, and all of this happened because God had a purpose for a man's life. Paul, I believe, fulfilled God's purpose for his life more than most of us do. But you know what? I believe that there are many, many people that God had just as dramatic plans for their life, and yet they just never fulfilled it. And therefore, not only did the body of Christ and society and discoveries and inventions and things like this not come to pass, but I mean, it has affected the entire world. I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of the problems, the wars and things that are going on, is because way back in history somewhere, God ordained someone. Nothing ever sneaks up on God. He saw all of these things coming. He ordained people. But you know what? It doesn't just automatically, sovereignly come to pass. We have to fulfill God's will. So here's the Apostle Paul saying this, that he was separated unto God from his mother's womb. He had a touch of God on his life, but he got way off track and had to have a miraculous encounter with God to stop him and to turn that around and move his life in a new direction. The reason I'm bringing all of this out, Psalms 139 talks about before you were even born, God had written down all of the things that he had ordained for your life. Here's the Apostle Paul verifying this and saying, And you may sit there and disagree with him, but this man wrote half the New Testament. He changed his world. It said even a non-Christian, a secular official, when he walked into a town, says, "Behold, the men that have turned the world upside down have come here also." I mean, in his day, the Apostle Paul literally transformed his world. And because of the seeds that he planted, eventually the Roman government was converted over to Christianity, and he changed everything by the seeds that this man planted. And here's that man saying that he was separated unto God from his mother's womb. Now, some people think, well, maybe that's true of certain individuals, some of the great movers and shakers that are going to change history, but that's not true of every single person. Well, even the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 2 that God is no respecter of persons. God didn't have just a plan for Paul and for Peter and for a few people, or maybe for me today and maybe the pastor of a church or somebody that you see in leadership. But then there's just all of the average Joe Blow Christians that God doesn't have a plan for your life. I believe, again, based on Psalms 139, that before you were ever born, God had written down all of the things that he had ordained for your life. God has a plan for every single person's life. And I know that this is a new wrinkle in some of y'all's brains. The average person, most of the people that I deal with, when I minister on these subjects in a meeting and I give an invitation and I'll say, if you don't know for sure what God's will is for your life, I want you to stand and I'm going to pray for you. And I mean, the people who come to my meetings are not just your average run-of-the-mill Christian. They are people that have taken time out. Many of them, when we have a meeting, we have people travel from, I don't know, I'd say probably 7 states is a minimum, sometimes more states, foreign countries. We held a meeting in Atlanta, and I got an email, and somebody is coming from the Middle East over to go to those Atlanta meetings. We have people come from foreign countries. Point I'm making is these are people who are seeking God, people who are committed, people who have already had a touch of God on their life. It's not just your average Joe Blow Christian. Sometimes this is the cream of the crop, or certainly it's above your average deal. And yet when I give an invitation and ask people, if you don't know for sure that you have found God's will for your life, stand and I want to pray for you. Out of that group, which I believe is a cut above the average, we will have anywhere from 80 to 90% of the crowd stand to say that they don't know for sure that they found God's will for their life. You know what? To me, that's just tragic. It grieves me every time I see that. It's exciting in one sense, and that is that these people are finally confronting this and they've been touched and they're willing to humble themselves and to ask for prayer. And I'm excited about what the potential of that is. But at the same time, it's sad that people that are in their 50s and 60s and 70s are standing saying that they've never known what God's will for their life is. I am overwhelmed with that. You know, again, going back to my personal testimony, I started seeking the Lord my senior year in high school because I realized that I was coming to graduation and I was going to have to start making some choices. Prior to that time, my life was pretty much planned. I knew I had to go through high school. But as I approached the end of that high school, I realized I was going to have to start making choices, and I just didn't want to make a choice on my own. I believe that God had a purpose for my life. And I started seeking, and for 18 months, I sought God with my whole heart, trying to find out what His will for my life was, and I encountered God. And it was this desire to know God's will that really jump-started my Christian life and got me going. And it has been, it's like the foundation. I cannot even conceive, I don't even want to conceive what my life would have been like if I hadn't encountered the Lord March the 23rd, 1968, and He revealed His will to me. I can't even imagine. It is beyond my ability to imagine how people go through life not knowing what God's purpose for their life is. They may be a good person and trying to be good and going to church and doing the best they can, but they're still just wishing and a hoping and a praying that things are going to work out, but they have no confidence that they have found God's will? I know that I'm describing some of you to the T. And some of you are, this is just a shock to you because you think, well, this is the way that it is. None of us know what God's will is. No, I'm showing that Psalms 139, God had it all planned out. He has a plan for your life. He's not going to force it to come to pass, but He had a plan for your life before you ever came out of the womb. Here's the Apostle Paul saying that he was separated unto God from his mother's womb. And he knew that he was supposed to be completely committed and separated to God. And he got off track, but he encountered God. He found God's will. Paul would not have made the impact on his world and on our world that he has if he had just been wishing and hoping and praying and stumbling through life and praying that somehow God works it together for good. Nope, he knew God's will. He had to persevere. Paul, he saw a goal and he went through prison and he went through beatings and torture and shipwreck and rejection and suffering, and he had to persevere through all of those things to obtain that place. And when he got to the end of his life, he said, I have run the race. I have finished my course. Notice the terminology. He says, I have run the race. Every one of us have a race, a plot, a plan, a path for our life that God has predetermined for us. And you have to persevere and you have to finish your course. You can't just finish somebody else's course. You can't do what somebody else has asked you to do. What does God have for you to do? And again, I know that by me saying these things, I'm upsetting and unsettling some of you because you have fallen into a routine. And your life is just planned out. You're planning on putting in 40 years or whatever and then getting your retirement and sitting around and watching your grandkids grow. And it just seems like it's effortless. All you got to do is just put one foot in front of the other and plod along. And some of you find security in that. You know what? I believe that God has more for you than that. Now, that's not to say that there's anything wrong with any of those things and just working a job and having a family and raising your grandkids. Those are great things. But I'm saying you need to know that you are using your resources the way that God wants you to. If you aren't fulfilled, if you are dissatisfied, you know, let me just say this. If you're depressed and discouraged, I can guarantee you, you are not focused on what God's will for your life is. God will call you to do something that's bigger than you. God will cause you to do something that's not just humanly possible. He will cause you to do something supernatural. And it will challenge you. And it will take every bit of strength and everything that you've got to get it done. And if you are in a situation to where you are just maintaining and you're just on this merry-go-round and you don't know how to get off, I'm telling you that God has something more for your life. And I may be unsettling you some. This may be putting you in a position where, man, well, if I was to change and if I was to do something else and change the course of my life, I might fail. Well, you might. Did you know what? Following God is risky. But I can guarantee you it'll keep you out of depression. It'll keep you out of discouragement because you will be hanging on for dear life. It's like riding a roller coaster, and you'll have to be seeking God because God will be leading you to do things that are beyond your human ability. You know, in my own personal life, and I'm aware that not everybody's called to the ministry, but hopefully you can gain some things through this. But you know, God has led me to do things. Right now, He has led me to purchase 157 acres. We are building a facility that is going to accommodate over 2,500 students that are going to go out and change the world. Our Bible college has the potential. I mean, we've already got people in about 7 or 8 different countries that have met with the president, the first lady of those countries, and they are having inroads into things, and they are changing nations. I mean, the Lord has leveraged what He is able to do through me, multiplied it, increased my effectiveness supernaturally through all of these students that are getting these same revelations and going out and changing the world. And God has laid it on my heart to raise up a school that's going to have over 2,500 students in it, and then these graduates are going to go literally change the world. And I mean, this is big. Just the very first step to get the facilities built is going to be around a $40 million project. And you know what? That's bigger than what I can do. I guarantee you, I'm not bored. I'm not depressed. I'm not discouraged. I'm holding on for all I'm worth. It's exciting serving God. If your life is boring, then I can guarantee you, you haven't found God's will for your life. God will call you to do something that is bigger than you, something that takes His supernatural ability to get it done. And even if it's just so that you have a family and that you raise that family and are faithful to your kids and your wife, and you know what? That's supernatural. It takes a supernatural ability from God to be able to be a good father, to be a good mother, to be a good parent, to be a good person at the place where you work, and to be able to be there and meet the needs of people. I can guarantee you, every one of you sooner or later is going to encounter somebody who falls over dead in your presence, and the Lord told you to go heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. I remember when I was in Lamar, Colorado, doing Bible studies, there was a group of seven women who were all sisters, and their mother died, and they just went and raised her from the dead, and they were all housewives. Not a single one of them was called to full-time ministry. And these housewives just saw their mother raised from the dead and walked 2 miles into town that afternoon and bought groceries and came back after being dead that morning. Amen. It's supernatural. You don't have to be on television. You don't have to be a minister, but God has a supernatural plan for every one of you. God wants you to be a blessing wherever you are. And I'm telling you, this isn't just reserved for preachers. It isn't just reserved for a president or a leader of a country or a politician or somebody who's in a leadership position. Every one of you were designed by God with a purpose. And it's not up to you to just live your life and do your own thing and hope that God blesses it. You need to find out what God's will for your life is. And then you have to pursue it. That's the reason I've broken this teaching into how to find God's will. That's the first step. You can't fulfill it if you don't know what it is. But then finding God's will is only the first step. You also have to learn how to follow God. And there are so many people that get a word from God and then they make a paragraph out of it. And they just go out and do all of these other things and wind up getting in trouble, crashing and burning. I'm sure every one of you watching this program have seen ministers who probably found God's will for their life, but then they went out and began to manipulate people and misrepresent it. They've got into sexual sin, or they've financially stolen money and done this and that, and they've become a liability and have actually hurt the cause of Christ. The body of Christ is why they were called to build it up, and they wound up doing the opposite because they found God's will, but then leaned upon their own understanding trying to fulfill it. Man, you have to follow God's will and then fulfill God's will. That's talking about a long-term thing. So this is what we're dealing with. And I believe that this is going to be a tremendous blessing to you. I'm out of time today, but we do have materials. These are all brand new materials. They'd be a real blessing to you. I encourage you to listen to our announcer as he gives you that information about how to get these materials. Please call or write today, and then join me again tomorrow as I continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Find God's Will, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This series is also available on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. You can receive it for a gift of any amount when you write or call. Or you can get today's teaching as part of the God's Will package, which includes three albums: How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. As a bonus, the package includes the Destiny Stories DVD, highlighting four stories of people whose lives were transformed as they pursued God's will for their lives. The entire package has a catalog value of $120. But Andrew considers this teaching so important, he'd like to get it to as many people as possible. Therefore, he's offering it to you for a gift of just $75 or more. Remember to specify the CD or DVD package when you order. The first audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled Everyone Has a Destiny, free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled God Wants You Well for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Minneapolis, Minnesota for a Gospel Truth seminar next week, July 15th through the 17th, and in Durant, Oklahoma, July 28th through the 30th. He'll also be in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth seminar August 12th through the 14th, in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center camp meeting September 12th through the 17th, and in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 18th through the 19th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
When Andrew and Jamie were young, they went to a conference on biblical prosperity. They desperately wanted to get the teaching, but simply could not afford it. Andrew promised God that if he was ever in a position to make his teaching available, he would never deny it to someone for lack of funds.
And that's what motivated me really to give, is the fact that he gives his stuff away.
Our hearts are just tied with what Andrew's doing, what he's trying to accomplish.
The partnership is helping do what I can't do.
I know that I'm a part of something so big.
And my gifts can help reach the nations and the people. Whoever has ears to hear, they will hear.
There's more than just classroom activity at Caris Bible College. Students at CBC participate in hands-on ministry, like corresponding with prison inmates who want to learn more about relationship with God.
We're required to minister to other people, to basically give out what's been put in us.
And we just have many hungry prisoners that want to learn the Word of God.
It's a volunteer program, and I volunteer and write letters to prisoners.
It's really touched me because everyone needs to know what Christ has done for them and how that changes their life.
This ministry is changing lives every day.
Invest yourself in Caris Bible College today. For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on today's news feature.